By the personality of Yaakov Avinu. His personality, which Klal Yisrael is founded upon, Bachar Hashem B'Yaakov, to me is one of the most exciting and intriguing, and yet one of the most perplexing mitzad sheni. Chazal say, the Gemara says in Chulin, that Zivi Kunin Shel Yaakov Chakuku B'Kis Yaakov, that the luster of his countenance is somehow inscribed on the celestial chariot. Whatever that means. But certainly Yaakov Avinu is the one who teaches us how to behave in Golos. He's the one actually who went into Golos. And Chazal tell us a number of times that Chayav Adam Lomar, a person is obligated to say, Masa Yagiru Masa and Amasa Avram Yitzhak Yaakov. When will I ever reach the level of Avram Yitzhak Yaakov? And the Ramban, as you know, in Pashas Lech Lecha, develops a very fundamental Yisod, which you're all familiar with. There are a number of ways of expressing this Yisod. The Ramban uses the expression, whatever happened to the Avos is a sign for future generations. How do we know the concept as? What are the language that we usually describe it as? Maisei Avos, Sivul Levonim. And there are other different expressions that are used to describe it. What does that mean exactly? So I'll just briefly, I believe there are two ideas that are embedded in Maisei Avos, Sivul Levonim. Idea number one is the notion that Hashem has drawn a blueprint for Jewish history. He's an architect. Throughout the millennium, there's a blueprint. We simply are, shall we say, fleshing in the contours of the artist's blueprint. And we can only hasten or delay the Achas Hayomim. The Pasuk says, Ki Yisharim Darkei Hashem, Tzadikim Yelchuvam, Mekoshim Yikoshuvam. But essentially, the blueprint is already there. The blueprint from when to when, from the time that Elul Rishon appeared on the scene, all the way till the ultimate Geula, when Mashiach Tzidkenu is going to come. What is our function? We hopefully will join the ranks of the Avos, Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, and obviously follow the Darkei Hashem to the extent that we can. But there's another idea, which I believe is very significant, in this expression, Maisei Avos Sivul Levonim. And that is, and I think the Ramban says it explicitly, that every act of Emunah is not a one-time experience, but its scope is much wider. The Ramban refers to Avraham Avinu, for example, going down to Mitzrayim. Or Sarah, in the palace of Paro. We're not talking about isolated episodes, but rather, what happened? Avraham Avinu emerged from Mitzrayim. Of course, there were difficulties along the way. Sarah as well, the palace of Paro, encountered many difficulties, but what they demonstrated was a reservoir of faith and courage, and as a result of that, it facilitated, I would say, the observance of the mitzvahs of the part of Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim many, many generations later. The Ramban is the one who says it very explicitly. The Ramban indicates that that which happened to Avraham Avinu in Mitzrayim way back when was essentially a portent of what's going to happen to us many, many years later in Mitzrayim. And each of these events that occurred is called Maisei Avos Sivul Levonim in the future. So, just like, let's say, in the case of Sarah, the purity of her yichus was confirmed, was maintained by Sarah, so too, even Klal Yisrael went down to Egypt. So what happened? They emerged, and Chazal say, Ruvein Nichnas, Ruvein Yatsa. Or the way the well-known Medrash called in the beginning of Shmos, that Lo Shinu et Shmam, they didn't change their names. That's what it means, Ruben Nichnas, Ruben Yatsa. Then we have Egyptian names, which normally would have happened if you're in a foreign kind of culture for an extended period of time. Secondly, Loshinu and Loshona, they still spoke Lashon HaKodesh. Number three, Chazal say, even their begodim, their garb, reflected Jewish garb, as opposed to what they might have, once again, become so acculturated in the culture of Egypt that they would have taken on as well Egyptian garb. And all this, I'm sorry? All this is essentially based on what happened to Avraham Avinu earlier on in Sefer Bereishis, to Sarim Meino earlier on in Sefer Bereishis. Just to give you a few more examples of this, you see, for example, what we just read not long ago, Yitzhak settles in Gerar, and initially the Torah tells us he wasn't so prominent, and of course he was afraid of the uncivilized barbaric masses. That's why he identified his wife again as his sister, similar to his father. They're going to kill him. And the Torah then says, once they recognize his greatness, then of course he's protected by the nobility, and then the Torah describes his unbelievable economic success. The Lashon of the Pasuk is mind-boggling. Vayigdal ha'ish, I'm getting to my Yishah, don't get nervous. Vayigdal ha'ish, He simply was prosperous beyond belief. He has tremendous possessions. By the way, one of the two, Kino. Here we have already one of the origins of anti-Semitism. And the Torah that says, Avimelech says to him, Lech me imanu, ki atzam tu vimenu mahu. This is the pattern, by the way, migration, resettlement, economic prosperity, and then banishment. That's characteristic of the Jew in Golus, which is an idea, by the way, was developed by whom? By Amir Simcha Kohen, the Meshech Chochma, in Pashat B'chukosai, a great land. He developed this idea, but even the, if you remember the three Be'eros, that Yitzhak, that his servant's dog, what are they called? Esek, Sidna, and Rehoboth. Remember those three names? So Esek, he implies the what? His tension. Ki Saskarimo. Sidna literally means Sidna. And finally, Rehoboth, ultimately, we have to return to Eretz Yisrael. Ki Yichad Hashem Lanu Farinu Baretz. So basically, I'm just trying to summarize for you my son of a similar bundle. What is that? It's a foreshadowing of our historical tapestry. We're simply playing out the roles assigned to us by the Torah. Obviously, we have Bechira Chavshis, but we are the ones who are going to, as I said, fill in the details. Okay, in that vein, I'm going to examine the personality of Yaakov. Yeah?
Are we saying that from Avraham, we're going to Avimelech and have the same thing as his wife? And literally, we had by Yitzchak also. In that sense of, like the Sukhal Gulag, whatever happens to the forefather happened to us also, whatever happens to Avraham also happened to Yitzchak.
That's what Avraham says. The Rabban is explicit in Pasha's Lech Lecha.
He also has Sukkah. He makes a person
to Sukkah
by.
Yeah, the Rabban shows him. There are many, many Rabban is, you must learn Rabban. You have no choice but learning Rabban on the Torah. You cannot avoid learning Rabban on the Torah. If you want to understand Sefer Bereishis and the other Chavishim of the Torah as well, but primarily Bereishis. We have many events that I've described, you must learn Rabban on the Torah. It's just a prerequisite. Baruch Ator Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam Shehakol Nieh Divarav. Okay, so now I want to examine the personality of Yaakov Avinu in this light. And maybe I'll just, by way again of Akdama, mention an idea that I refer to in the Sefer Anas Salvechik, but it's a very fundamental idea. The Pasuk said to Shir HaShirim, Kishoshana Ben HaChochim Kein Rayasi Ben Abanos, meaning, as a rose amongst thorns, so is my beloved amongst the daughters. And one could imagine that a rose, which is a very soft-petaled, tender, and vulnerable kind of flower, found in the setting of thorns, which of course are prickly and the like, how could it be blossomed in such an alien, antagonistic environment? And that's exactly what Chazal say is what happened to Klal Yisrael. Where do we develop? For example, the Zohar comments on the Pasuk in Dvarim, by Yishom the God Gadol, there. We became a God Gadol. Where is there? Dafki Mitzrayim. Why Dafki Mitzrayim? Because real growth and maturity comes from suffering, and comes from Yisurim, whether it's physical, whether it's psychological, what's called the Kura Barzal. And the reason why I mention it is specifically Yaakov Avinu. Again, this we've already pointed out once or twice, and Rav Soloveitchik really stresses this, and it's found in the Sefer. The beginning of Yaakov's emergence, we see that he comes ultimately to marry Rachel and Leah. And Rachel and Leah, of course, come from Lavan HaArami. And we're talking about Rivka. And Rashi quotes over there, if you remember, that she was the daughter of a Rasha, the sister of a Rasha. Her whole bucket was full of Rishayim, with Olam the Mimaseyim. Rashi Lejik has a very fascinating theory in the Sefer that the one responsible for this was whom? Was Dvorah, Meneket Rivka. Chidush Gol. Lefiyat is deity. Although there is a bucket, I think I mentioned to you, yeah, did I not mention to you? There's a Yenison Benazir. Chagim Yenison translates that the Pasuk in Yenachai Sarah, by Yishalfu as Rivka, Achaisim es Meinikta, he translates Meinikta, which means her nursemaid, as pedagogo, the pedagogue. Pedagogue means the one who taught us. The Rav did not quote the Tag Medicine, but there is such Tag Medicine. But if you read the idea, you'll see in the Sefer, But the point Rav Soloveitchik is making, which is hard for us to understand, that you take a look at the life of Yaakov and compare it with Yishmael and Esav, this is also in the Sefer, their lives seemingly are lives of biological continuity of colossal empires that grow unencumbered by any kind of crisis and the like. Hashem, the life of Yaakov Avinu is one of tzara after tzara after tzara. Rashi quotes, and this is the famous Rashi, I assume you are probably familiar with all the with all these Mamar Chazal. In the beginning of Vayeshev Yaakov Eretz Megurei Avav Eretz Kanaan, Perek Lamed Zayin Pasuk Aleph, says Rashi, Bikesh Yaakov Leishev B'Shalva, Yaakov wanted to somehow live at ease. What happened? Kafatol Avrogzo She Yosef. And the trouble in connection with Yosef suddenly came upon him. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty said, Tzadikim Vakshem Leishev B'Shalva? Tzadikim want to, shall we say, live at ease? Lo Dayim L'Tzadikim Asher Mesidim L'Molam Abba? It's not enough that they're going to get in the world to come a great share. El Shemavakshem Leishev B'Shalva B'Molam Azeh? They also want to live in ease in this world? Unbelievable Rashi. Yeah.
Why is it that Yaakov was never able to live with ease, but towards the end of Abraham's life, it says that he kind of just lived his life out just calmly, without anything much going on?
Where does it say that?
Like, towards
the end
of his life, nobody on
the... Where? Not at the end of Yaakov's life you're talking about.
No, I'm talking about like towards the end of Avram's life. Like.
So what psukim are you referring to? Where does the Torah describe this? because I'm going to show you just the opposite. The very reverse. And right, so the Drashim and Chazal all over the place. You have to show me what you're referring to. I only know that the Rav used to stress what it says in the Haggadah, Haggadah Shel Pesach that is, that Hashem promised Esav a Yerusha, gave him Har Seir, and he also promised us Eretz as well. But where did we go? The Yaakov of Anab, Yodim Mitzrayimah. We don't get our Yerusha with ease. Kimad never. We always have to go through many, many crises. And even Chazal, for example, I can show you another pasuk where Rashi has the famous comment in, if you take a look at Vayishlach, this week's parsha, Perek Lamed Vav, pasuk Vav. Here's the Torah says, you have to show me the psukim, okay, if you don't mind. No question about it. No doubt about it. That's my point.
So why is that?
Okay, that is a good question. The answer really is that Yaakov represents Klal Yisrael more than Avraham and more than Yitzchak. He's really the prototypical Jew, and that needs also discussion, why that's so. But he is, and therefore his life to a large extent reflects the lifestyle of Klal Yisrael throughout the millennia. Much more so than it reflects the life of Avraham, life of Yitzchak. If you look at that pasuk, the parent number above, pasuk above, Vayikach Esav as Noshav, Yes Banam as Benosav, Yes Konash as Besov, and where did he go? Vayelach al Eretz v'nei Yaakov Achiv. So Rashi says over there, a pasuk, I thought it's Vav Zayin, I think it's Vav. Vayelach al Eretz v'nei Yaakov Achiv, says Rashi, v'nei Shtacho shel Zeras ki Ger Yezaracho, hamutal al Zara shel Yitzhak. What does Rashi say? Rashi says he went to another country, on account of his brother Yaakov, on account of some shtarcho, some bond of indebtedness that was involved in the decree, Kiger Yezaracha, means Hashem told Avraham Avinu, your children are going to be a ger. Where? Be'eretz lo lahem. We're going to have to go into bondage. That was imposed upon us. So what did Esav say? Eilech li mikar. I don't want any part of this. Eili chelek lo b'matana. I don't have a chelek, neither the present of this land which was given to Yitzhak named the Eretz Yisrael, we love a pure on the shtar. I don't want to pay the shtar. Means we somehow committed ourselves to a quid pro quo. What does that mean? Our history is not a simple biological one, but rather one designed to mold the character of a nation. You want to mold the character of a nation? It only comes from what? Yisurin, from crises, from constant confrontations, and that's what Yaakov Avinu was all about. The other nations, namely Yishmael and Esav, as I mentioned, this is what also mentioned, pointed out as well, that the word that describes them is todos. And what does todos mean? Biological continuity. But they don't have the same kind of mandate to inculcate values and imbue our children with emunah, with chesed, with mesirat nefesh, and that can only come from constant testing, endurance runs, confrontations, marathons to strengthen our mettle. That's the idea of Tzar Gidol Bonim. There's a Chazal, also a Medrash. The Medrash is down by Yishlach, where it says, Vayeshev Yaakov, which by the way is the only pasuk that I can cite which would perhaps support your thesis is the pasuk beginning of Vayeshev. Vayeshev Yaakov. Bikesh Yaakov Leishev Shalva. He wanted to live at ease, says the Medrash. And this is what Yaakov Avinu said. Because we don't see Yisrael and Yisrael affected by any kind of problems. Their families multiply, they grow with ease. And Yaakov is engulfed by tzoris. The Medrash says on that pasuk, Lo shalafti v'lo shakadati. Yaakov says, I'll translate, I didn't achieve tranquility, nor peace, nor rest. Why? Says the Medrash, Lo shalafti me'esav, I wasn't tranquil because of Esav. Lo shakadati me'lovan, I wasn't at peace because of lovan. Lo nachti bidina, I didn't rest because of what happened with Dina. Vayava roges, and when I thought everything was already, how much more trouble could I have? What came along? Rogz Osher Yosef. It's unbelievable. And by the way, Chazal had a similar medrash on the pasuk Vayava Amalek, where Klavi says, Lo shalafti mi bavel, lo shakati mi modai, lo nachti mi yavon, Vayava roges, and Klavi says the same thing. That's my of a similar bavel. That means that I didn't achieve tranquility because of bavel. How were we treated by the Babylonians? Trust me, in a very shabby kind of fashion. How are we treated by Modai? In a very shabby kind of fashion. How are we treated after that by Yavon? They attempted to destroy us. How are we treated by Edom, which is essentially the Golos of today? Also in a very shabby fashion. But Yaakov Avinu was able to withstand the onslaught, and he grew as a result of all of it. He matured, and he gave us the koach to go ahead and emerge from our encounter with the four Goliaths mentioned by Daniel. You hear what I'm saying? Okay, I'm going to discuss this further right now. All this is by way of a little akdama, a little preamble to the issue I want to talk about. So now, maybe I'll mention this because perhaps you're not so familiar with it, but it's kedai to be familiar with it. If you remember when they are born, so the Torah says something very, very striking. It says that Esav is born fully mature physiologically. He was born as an adult. Vayikru shmo Esav. The word Esav comes from the what Hebrew? The word Asui. What does Asui mean? Made, already done, already mature. And very fascinating medrash. I found a medrash, Chazal, that it says, Vayikru shmo Esav, said the Almighty, he takes the word Esav, this medrash, and turns it around. You have Shin Bav Ayin. But since the Ayin and the Aleph are the metathesis, says the medrash, Hashav Shebarasi Baalami. Hashem said, I created in my world something in vain. Esav transposed Ishav, Shinvav Ayin, but the Ayin and the Aleph undergo metathesis. You know what that means? Osios Mischalfos, the letters often Tanakh switch. So Hashem said, what I did here was Shav. What's the pshat? Because as you know, as I said, the way the Ramban writes in Chumash, Ramban writes that Hashem created the world, in fact, with one of three verbs. What are the three verbs that are used as voracious again and again and again? The verb bara, what does bara mean? To create ex nihilo. Ex nihilo means out of nothing. Yesh me'ayin. The second verb is yatzar. Yatzar is found in the second paragraph of Bereishis. Yatzar means to fashion out of what? Out of chomer. Rabban said that Hashem created this hyletic matter, chomer yuli. Not chomer yuli, there was differentiation, and ultimately all of humanity emerged from that. And finally, asa is also found, the third verb, that means makom patish. So Esav is already, shall we say, there's already a makom patish, means there's a personality whose growth has been very stunted from a very early stage because he can't grow. The Gemara says in Baba Kama, you're probably familiar with this Gemara, Shor ben Yomo, Kari Shor. You ever heard of that Gemara? The ox, at the moment of birth, is already called an ox because maybe it lacks from physical growth, but otherwise it's not capable of any further development. That's exactly what Esav is all about. Yaakov Avinu is the very opposite. Yaakov, by the way, is not, when we say Yishtam, it doesn't mean a simpleton, God forbid. I saw that translation a few places. But it means someone who is a Gavra Shlim, the Targum says. Adam HaSholem, someone whose personality was molded, imprinted, reinforced by many, many encounters and confrontations. And only an Adam HaSholem can emerge from all these crises, one after the next. Okay, so now that I mentioned this, and I think I've spoken already in the past about the one word, I'm pretty sure I did speak about it, and Vayisrotzitzu refers to a struggle that takes place already prenatally between Yaakov and Esau, and that struggle becomes essentially a struggle, the Dori Doros. I would say, if you want to put it in a very blunt way, the struggle between Judaism and Catholicism, which is essentially what Esau represents, and we are, of course, representing the Judaic side of things, And this is a struggle which, shall we say, will remain at Sokol Adoros. So now I want to refer to Parshas Vayishlach, and we saw already at the end of last week's Parsha, we saw a very fascinating, I don't know if I call it a dialogue, between Yaakov and Laban. I would say, again, another indication of a very strong and difficult many years period of time that Yaakov had with Laban, and Yaakov finally escapes Laban, and 20 years he worked for him, and he was duped and deceived left and right, and yet somehow you notice that Yaakov essentially, does he confront Laban? No. For 20 years he does not confront Laban, and this trait is so inherent in Yaakov Avinu that even, and this is something which is absolutely mind-boggling, even the relation between Hashem's brother and Yaakov is also distinct. Because to Avram Avinu and to Yitzhak, Hashem communicates directly. Beginning of Lech Lecha. Vayomer Hashem al Avram, Lech Lecha le'aretz. And also you'll find to say there that Vayi Rav Ha'aretz, and the Pesach of Pesach say, when there's a famine in the land, Milvada Rav Arishon Hashem b'mei Avram, Vayelach Yitzhak al Avimel Avimel Klishin Grora, Vayere al Hashem. Hashem appears to him directly and tells him, don't go down to Mitzrayim. What about Yaakov Avinu? Does Hashem appear to Yaakov directly? So we have, of course, in the beginning of Vayetzei, what do we have? Last week's Pasha we had a chalom. He had a dream. If you remember, Vayachalom, v'nei sula musav arza, v'osha magi ha-shamayma, v'nei malach yalakim, olim b'yor dimbo. And even when the Torah seems to report a direct dialogue between Yaakov Avinu and Hashem, it's not so. Take a look at Vayetzei for a moment. In Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud. This is a very striking parsha. Approximately 40 years ago, I took a course in genetics and wrote a paper on this parsha. Today there are svarim on this. Svarim, describing this spotted and the speckle, you know what I'm talking about? A parsha that's impossible to understand. Maybe you understand it. Quite difficult. I assume you learned that parsha, you saw it at least. A very difficult parsha. There are many, many svarim, very fascinating svarim written on it. So take a look at the Pesukim, I'm interested in one other, the Kuda, Pasuk Yud. Vayi Be'ez Yachei Matzon, Vo'esra Einai, Vayir V'Chalom, V'inei Atudim Ho'olum Al-Atzom, Akudim Nekudim Avudim, Vayomer Elai Malach Elokim V'Chalom Yaakov, Vomar Hineini, and he tells him, I see what Laban has done to you, don't worry, Hashem will take care of you. But even here, what are we talking about? It was a dream. Vo'esra Einai, Vayir V'Chalom. And as Yaakov Avinu, unlike Avram Yitzhak, has to communicate with Hashem indirectly. Never a direct communication. Parshas Vayishlach, which is the parsha that I want to talk about, describes a dramatic transformation in the modus operandi of Yaakov Avinu. A further unfolding of his personality. Yaakov, the fugitive from Esau, begins to confront his adversary. Because before his encounter with Esau, if you remember, if you recall, Yaakov has, of course, a meeting with whom? With the so-called Malach Shel Esau. And what does the Malach Shel Esau tell him? You remember? The Baal Shel Esav changes his name and tells him, Lo Yaakov Yomer Al Shimcha El Yisrael. Your name will always be called Yaakov and called Yisrael. Why? Ki Sarisa Melokim Bimanoshi Batucha. Because you fought with God and with men, you prevail. Because this is the first time that Yaakov now has struggled with an adversary in a frontal assault. So I hear from my Rebbe, Rav Tzidok Kanatavsky, that inside the Bracha, something unbelievable in this week's Pasha. And I want to read the Pesukim to you, and it's good to see the Pesukim inside, so you'll have a better appreciation of what I'm referring to. In Parshas Vayishlach, let's see what paragraph is. Thank you. In paragraph number 8, Pesuk Chaf Aleph. Thank you. Look at this pasuk. Here we're talking about after Yaakov prayed to Hashem, and then we have the presents that Yaakov was going to give to Esav and the instructions he gave to his avodim. And now in pasuk Chapalev, he tells them the following: Va'amartem, tell them, Gam hinei Yaakov v'Yaakov acharenu, that Yaakov is right behind. Ki omar, Yaakov said. Please translate this pasuk. Achap rofonov, bamincha ha'olechas lefonoi, v'yach mechein erafonov, ula yisafonoi. Which word appears here too many times? Thank you. Fairly evident. Does not require a PhD thesis. Why? Translated. Ki Amar Yaakov said, Achach Lefonav, I will appease him. Bamincha Olechas Lefonav, with the present that goes before me. Yaakov Yehinera Lefonav, afterwards I'll see his face. Ula Yisafonav, perhaps he'll be accepting of me. Torah continues. Vatavar Hamincha Alponav, the fifth time. The present passed before him. And then, guess what? A little bit later, there's a struggle between Yaakov and whom? And the Baal Shal Esa. Pasuk Havei. Vayavar Gishimo Alamos HaShachar. By the way, I think I've told you this. And many chassanas, including the one I was just at recently, my daughter, my son-in-law, they sing this nigga. Vayavar Gishimo Alamos HaShachar. Do you know the nigga?
Why?
I do not know for the life of me. I just hope the chassan and the kala are not involved in that. Vayavik
yeah.
means they struggle with each other, they wrestle with each other till the morning. Why did they sing this by? How does it go again? What in heaven's name is that to do? Not even in Shemitah, it's us. I've been asking this question since I've heard this thing maybe 20 years ago. Why are they singing this? The chassan and the kala should be now in this kind of a bout the whole night. Maybe someone could explain it to me. Okay. My point is, it's not my point. Look a bit after him. So his name is changed, and then Pasuk, Lamed Lamed Aleph. Vayisha Yaakov, tell me your name. Lamed Zetzi Shalashmi. Lamed Aleph. Vayikwa Yaakov, what does Yaakov call the name of the place? Shem Amokom? Padiyah. Ki Raisi Elokim, Panim El Panim. There's a very famous Israeli newspaper many years ago called Panim El Panim, Allah Mashallah. The reason why that newspaper was so chashuv, because initially it was edited by Rav Pinchas Peller, Zechem Livracha, and there he published all the Rav's Teshuvas Rashis in Hebrew. He translated the Teshuvas Rashis from Yiddish into Hebrew, a literal translation. Adayom Hazeh, I still have from 40 years ago, copies of those Panim El Panim in my house, and that's the goddess of that paper. Before the Sefer, Al Teshuvah was published. You know that Sefer? Before the Sefer was published, you have... Anyway, notice again, what is the name of the place? Padiyah. Ki Raisi Elokim Panim El Panim. Which word here has appeared and reappeared many, many times? The word Panim and Panov and all its forms and variations. And the answer why that's so is because Yaakov Avinu decided to change his methodology. Till now he avoided confrontation. Till now he was, shall we say, besieged by Lavan and other tzaras. And finally, he has a punim al punim encounter, both as you'll see in a moment with Hashem Yisbarach, as well as with his adversaries. It means that the metamorphosis taking place in his personality. The Jew that evaded confrontation has now learned to grapple directly with his adversaries. And by the way, that explains also why you have in Vayishlach and Perek Lamed Gimel, when Yaakov finally beats up with Esav, the Pasuk Yud, what does it say? Vayom Yaakov, Al No, Ibno, Matzasichei Meinecha, Vlakachti Minchas Viyadi, Ki Al Kain, Raisi Fanecha, Ki Ros Pnei Elokim Atesedi. And those basically, I have seen your face. Please. Little gentleman who's jumping around here. I've seen your face, as though I've seen the face of a godlike, godlike being, and you are pleased with me. And those, the Rabban, actually, look at the Rabban comments, and he's talking that the struggle of Yaakov with the Baal Shal Esav is a very, very significant one. If you remember the pasuk that we just sang a moment ago, Vayeyovet Ish Imo Ala Los Hashachar. So the Rabban has a comment. Vayeyovet, says the Rabban, here again, you have what's called metathesis. Osios Mishalfos. Two letters can, shall we say, interchange. What are the two letters? The word Vaye Ovek with an Aleph interchanges with the Ches. Ches and the Aleph in Tanakh undergo metathesis all the time. And it basically says the Ramban, and I'm reading into the Ramban a little bit, I hope you don't mind, but the Jew, the godless Jew, had a combat ace on two fronts. Number one, Vaye Ovek, it was an outright attempt to destroy and exterminate Klal Yisrael throughout the godless. But then there was something else. Vaye Chavek. What does Chibuk mean? Chibuk means the hug. They try to sabotage our identity through assimilation, through acculturation. As a matter of fact, there's a famous Beis Halevi in the beginning of the Pasha, which means that the Beis Halevi is really very much in sync with what I'm saying right now. What does it say at the beginning of the Pasha? When Yaakov was called to Hashem, Hatzileni no? Bali Kri over here? Miyad Ochi Yad Esav. Ask the Bali, not just the Mefarshim, the Bali Musa, the Beis Halevi as well. Why does the Torah use a double Lashon? Hatzilein lo Miyad Ochi Miyad Esav. What does Rashi say? Famous Rashi. Miyad Ochi Shedo Gimi Kesav. Miyad, my brother who treats me or deals with me as Esav. Says the Beis Halevi, a totally different shot. Esav has two appearances, two ways that he deals with Klal Yisrael. One is Esav, he attempts to destroy us, he attempts to basically completely eliminate us, eviscerate us, emasculate us, v'chul v'chul. And then there's another approach on the part of Esav, acculturation, assimilation, through love, and the like. But the Ramban, L'chura, sees this in Vayeoveg, Vayechoveg. These are two approaches. By the way, there's a Netziv, who also says something of a similar nature. Where's that Netziv? In the Pasuk in Tehillim. We say in the Halel, Sabuni Gam Svavuni. Translate it. You have surrounded me, you have encompassed me. Yeah, that's some sort of a translation. Says the Netziv, there are two Tzvei Dinim, or two approaches the way the Goyim deal with us. One is Sabuni, and one is Svavuni. One is to destroy us outright, and the other is to, shall we say, try to, with love and the like, try to win us over. So what happened? The Medrash says that Esav, if you recall, Esav, according to Chazal, the Medrash attempts to bite him. What happens to Yaakov's neck? It becomes hard. Because Yaakov's neck develops what midah? The midah of Klal Yisrael, which is the midah of Am Kshayor. Literally, Kshayor means a stiff neck, a hard neck. Although basically, what happens is that completely and totally, Yaakov Avinu is transformed. He's transformed from someone who evaded confrontation and avoided it, tried to run away from all of his adversaries, to now someone who is going to confront his adversaries in a very direct and open kind of way. Because Yaakov and Esav, as I said before, their interaction are like a microcosm of our history. Esav is born with a tremendous ekev. V'yodah ochezes ba'akev Esav. A tremendous heel. What is his design? He wants to trample Yaakov underfoot. He wants to come crush it. And what does Yaakov do? He has to cling to it. V'yodah ochezes ba'akev Esav. He has to cling to it tenaciously in order to forestall his, shall we say, possible extinction. Esav is bloodthirsty. Esav is, with his Ekev, reminds me of the German soldier and the Roman soldier. You're familiar with their Ekev, which is, in military terms, what is it called, that massive shoe they wear? Boot. Correct, thank you. That massive boot, which stomped across Europe throughout the millennia to trot upon Yaakov. And we of course, who are the children of Yaakov Avinu, we essentially, what do we have to do? We had to devise all kinds of strategies in order to escape the parrots. You know what the parrots is. We had to engage in shtadlonus, cajolery, and bribery, and all types of indirect and sometimes devious means to avoid confrontation. Now, you are aware that this week's Pasha, Yaakov's name is changed from what to what? From Yaakov to Yisrael. What does Rashi say? The change is from Ikva, someone who acts how? Deviously, Birmiya, to someone who is now Yashar Kel. The word Yisrael stands for Yashar Kel. And that's why, I believe, this is the reason why Miyad, after this incident, the Torah tells us that who appears to Yaakov directly? Hashem is Barach. Till now, I told you, it was always Bachalom. Look at Vayishlach. Again, right after the fight, the struggle with the Malach Shel Esav. So what does the Torah say? Miyad after that? It says, I can't find it right now. Vayira Elokim al Yaakov Ov should say something like that. And tells him, Shimcha Yaakov, Lo Yikor Shimcha Ov Yaakov, Ki Yisrael Yeshurecha, Vayikra Shmo Yisrael. You have that pasuk? Let me have the chumash for a second. Thank you. As a matter of fact, Hashem appears to Yaakov after that as well. In Parashat Vayechi, we'll get to that in a moment. But prior to that, I need a chumash that has a
reference.
Thank you very much. So the Parashat Vayechi is Pasuk Chavtes. Chavtes?
You keep yourself?
Yeah, that I understand. But what does it say that Hashem appeared to Yaakov?
It's Lamed Hei Pasuk Tes.
Sorry. Lamed Hei Pasuk Tes. Thank you. Vayera Elokim al Yaakov over the Bobi Pat Narok. Vayera Hasso. Here we have the first time. Thank you. The first time we have that Hashem appears to Yaakov directly. Why is that so? Because Yaakov has changed his tactics. No longer operating through devious, indirect kind of means, but he's going to confront his adversaries. And that's why his name is changed from Yaakov to Yisrael. You probably are familiar with the Gemara Brachos, the end of the first parak. The Gemara says, Kol HaKore Li Abraham, Abram Over Baseh. I can't use the name Abram anymore. Because I tell Hashem Elohim Hashem Bacharta Bi Abram, Lo Tzeisa Bi Rukazdi, Misak Shmo Abraham. So that if I change the name, I'm Over Baseh. But is there such a notion with reference to Yaakov and Yisrael? Can I use the name Yaakov despite the fact his name was changed to Yisrael? The answer is throughout Tanakh. Yeah. After Abraham Avinu's name was changed from Abram to Abraham, what does the name become afterwards all the way throughout Tanakh only? Abraham. What about Yaakov and Yisrael?
Also.
Both. Why is that so? This is one of the favorite pastimes of Parshonim, Torah, to try to figure out whether the name Yaakov is used, whether the name Yisrael is used. There are at least six or seven theories by different Mepharshim. And I also have a theory, without getting into it right now, this needs literally several hours of careful analysis of Pesukim, just to examine throughout Tanakh when Yaakov is used and when Yisrael is used. Some of the classic theories are the following: that the Jew in Golus is essentially Yaakov, not in Golus is Yisrael. Of course, there are always exceptions to the rules, you understand. You have to figure out why there are exceptions. The ones who deal with this is the Archaim HaKadosh. That's a very fascinating mahalach. And the other mahalachim. But it's clear that the Jew vacillates between these two names. At times we are told not to use, or shall we say, open confrontation, to avoid skirmishing with a non-Jew, not to battle with him, and sometimes we have to literally go to war and battle with a non-Jew. The question is when to use which modality. That needs a great chacham in order to know how to behave. But we do know one thing. We know that Bisof Be'achas Hayamim, the Navi says, V'hoya Ha'oko L'misha. You know that pasuk? The Oko, which means the devious, twisted Mahalach, will become what? Mishar Yashar, will become straight. So eventually, the name Yisrael will take on the ultimate Yaakov Avinu, which is really what he's all about. Okay, I'm continuing on my merry way, and I want to just now point out another, shall we say, also significant element here, which I would like to perhaps try to discuss as well. There is a very fascinating issue, which I assume bothers you as well. It has to bother you. If it doesn't bother you, you clearly have not learned Chumash. You've learned some other Chumash other than the one that I'm familiar with. The pasuk calls Yaakov Ishtam. And I mentioned the word Tam means Gvar Shlim, whole or complete. And Rashi translates that as someone who is Tocha Gemara. So Rashi, what does Tocha Gemara mean? Like the Gemara in Brachas. Remember that Gemara? The Gemara describes as yes, he only wanted to bring in the Beis Medrash someone who's Tocha Gemara. Someone who's inside is like his outside. Someone who has no inconsistencies in their behavior, and someone who basically his outward mannerism and appearances directly in sync with his innermost passion and drives. That's called the Tam. Hashem came. Esau, obviously he's a duplicitous kind of fellow. Yaakov is Midas Emes. And yet when you look, came out of every single episode that Yaakov Avinu is involved in, we find all kinds of, shall we say, events that seem to indicate the very opposite of Midas Emes. Let us start. V'yado ochezes ba'akev Esau. At the moment of parturition, when they are born, Yaakov is trying to forestall the emergence of Esav as what? As the Bechor. That sounds a little bit not too kosher. Number two, when Yaakov dialogues with his mother Rivka, he's frightened. Maybe my father will feel me and I'll be in his eyes as an impostor. By the way, the Vilna Gaon translates, Ulai, Halavai. Halavai, Yaakov wanted to be discovered. He didn't want any part of this. He didn't want to be involved. But of course, Rivka, his mother, b'nevuah, she received the nevuah that Yaakov should receive the brachas. Yaakov did not want to proceed with behavior that smacked of being contrary to his very essence, to the Vidas Emes. But his mother overrode it, because she had nevuah. She had a sense of prophecy, and then she was convinced that she was right. Number three, the whole incident of the brachas, as you are undoubtedly familiar with the most famous line, which of course you undoubtedly know, and the line is, Anochi Esav Becharecha. And Rashi, of course, Biyad, not just Rashi, the Zohar also translates it, Anochi, I am I, and Esav is the Bechor. Abdisal Shver. Do you know what the word abyssal means?
A little bit.
But Esau's reaction a bit later is very clear. In Parshas Toldos, what does Esau say? Vayakveini zepamayim. That fella, my brother, has supplanted me twice. And not only that, Yitzhak tells Esau, when Esau appears in the scene, and of course he's in a state of absolute despair, that someone preceded him, named Yaakov Avinu, and of course he asked his father, Habracha achasi v'chol avi, you have no bracha left for me. Brachei gamoni avi, and he's crying. And Esav hears the response of Yitzchak, Bo achicha b'mirma, v'yikach b'mirchasecha. How do Chazal interpret that word b'mirma? B'chuch misa, where the Targum says. But what's a little translation of b'mirma?
Trickery.
Your brother, the deceptive fellow, came along and took the brachas. Number four, again another kasha. I hope I'll get to the answer. It's no good to leave you the kashas. Pasuk says, "Va'yaged Yaakov the Rachel ki achi abiyahu." Yaakov told Rachel he was his father's brother. Says Rashi, quoting the Gemara Bar Basra, "Im the Ramos suba, if he comes to deceive, gamani yochid Ramos. I am adept in matching wits with him in duplicity." That's the Gemara I think we saw. Number five. In the story that happened in last week's Pasha, Yaakov takes for himself makal, libne, lach, veluz, v'armon, I don't know how to translate it, moist sticks of poplar, and the almond, and the plane tree. The Balei HaTosfos ask on this, the following Kasha. They ask, how could a tzaddik, such as Yaakov, practice duplicity? Six! I have a long list. I won't tell you all of that. Six, there's a Medrash, which is an astounding dialogue between Yaakov and Leah. After he realized he had been fooled by Laban, Yaakov says to Leah, Rama Isa, Bas Rama Isa, you swindler, daughter of a swindler. That's a way to speak to one's wife. At night, he tells her, when I called you Rachel, you answered. And now when I call you Leah, you also answer. What if Leah respond? She said, you know where I learned this from? From you. Your father called you Esav, and you answered. He called you Yaakov, and you answered. You are my Rebbe. Feel like point. Not only that, number seven, Rashi himself notes, when Yaakov's name was changed to Yisrael, it signifies the change from Ikva Uremia to Sror and Gilipa, from that which is deceptive to that which is straight. What highlights the problem even more is the famous Akdama of the Netziv, Sefer Bereshis. The Netziv writes in the Akdama, the Netziv is a beautiful Sefer. I'm not going to finish this today, but I can't. Can I go a little bit over time?
Sure.
Maybe 10 minutes? Otherwise it's like leaving you with kashas without any intent to answer it. I'll try to move quickly. We still have about 10 minutes. The Netziv says that one of the others called Yeshurim, especially in their interaction with non-Jews, famous Akdama. So I'm just skipping all the rest. How do we reconcile what I call these conflicting desiderata? The absolute sense of MS that Yaakov Avinu embodies and all these episodes that seem to be a lot of history. Do you hear the kasha? So I want to tell you an unbelievable Abin Abachaye, another one of my, I'm a chassid gadol, Rabbeinu Bechaye al-Torah. Chabal, we don't have time to learn all these perushim. Today it's very difficult for me, but luckily years ago I was able to learn a lot of these perushim. He has a comment on the pasuk by Yi Esav Ish Yodei Atzai Yi Esav, at the beginning of Toldos, Yaakov Ishtam Yosheva Olim. He was very bothered by the language of the pasuk. It says by Yi Esav, Esav was Ish Yodei Atzai, a hunter, man of the field. So what should it have said parallel to that? If the verb is used by Esav, by Yi Esav Ish Yodei Atzai Yi Esav, then it should have said by Yaakov Hoya Ishtam Yosheva Olim. Doesn't say that. It says by Yaakov Ishtam Yosheva Olim. Why does the Torah not use the verb vis-a-vis Yaakov Avinu? Does it not bother you? Shai, does it not bother you? Says the Rabbeinu Lachai the following. I'll translate it from the Hebrew over here. Abel Hiskir Havaya Be'esav, the word Vayihi is mentioned by Esav, Ki Ken Ha Yashmo Tamid. That was his name always from the day he was born. It never changed. But the name of Yaakov, Nishtana Hakach L'Shem Yisrael. It was changed to Yisrael. And else his principal name is not Yaakov, but that of Yisrael. As Hashem has brought changed his name from Yaakov to Yisrael.
Didn't say that Esav's name was also
Edom? That's also true. Nachon.
Wasn't changed.
But it wasn't changed, correct. Very good. That's right. So Rabbi Nebuchai suggests that had the Torah used the expression V'Yaakov Hoya Ishtam, that would have meant that that element of his personality is concrete, is solidified. But since it does not say that, by Esav it says Vayihi, perhaps we can extrapolate from here is the following. And I said it earlier, and I now want to develop it a bit further. The omission of that term tells you that Yaakov's personality was unfolding and evolving. Esav's was, how shall I put it, was in rigor mortis from the time of his birth. Is there any hint of such a change in the life of Yaakov and his family? Yes. If you remember, after the story of Shechem, so the Torah has Vayishlach, an unbelievable pasuk. I'm going to tell you now, I heard from my Rebbe, Avsid Dov Kanatavsky's in Tzad Nivracha, I just fit it into the whole scheme of things. Perek Lamed Hei, pasuk Beis. After Hashem appears to Yaakov again, Pasuk Galah, Vayevah Elokim Yaakov, go to Beisel, make it his bath. So Yaakov says to all his household, Hasirus Alei Anich Hashem Esolchem, what should he tell them to do? Remove any idolatry, Be'itaru, become Tahor, Ba'achli Masim Oseichem, and change your God. If you read this Pasuk, tell me, whoever tells me this, I probably should owe them a dinner. What do you hear in this Pasuk? Hasirus Alei Anich Hashem Esolchem, Vihitaru Vachlivu Simlosech. Do you hear the cadence of any particular yomtiv in this pasuk?
Yom Kippur.
The answer should be yes. And if so, which yomtiv am I referring to?
Yom Kippur.
Excellent. Why? Maybe if you can explain it, then I certainly owe you a dinner. Believe that. Where do you see Yom Kippur here?
Because it says to be Tahor.
Vihitaru. Yeah. Excellent. That's based on what pasuk? But it's much more than that.
Okay.
If you don't mind. Ba'achlivu simloseichem. There's a Gemara, Masech Shabbos, where the Gemara says, Zikavasu la Shabbos omnei, Ligdosh Hashem mechuba, the Gemara daf kufitim. Bab, it's a kufi test. Everything's a kufi test. And that daf, with Paul Kisrei, it's like a long, massive daf. The Gemara says, Zikavasu la Shabbos omnei, Ligdosh Hashem mechuba, where's the owner of Yom Kippur? Where's the cover of Yom Kippur? You can't eat, you can't drink, you can't do anything. Says the Gemara, Zeh Yom Kippurim She'en Bo Lo Achilav Lo Shtiyah, there's no eating or drinking. So how do you mechabed Yom Kippur? B'Sus Nekiyah. By doing what? By clean clothing. So some say that's the Magen Bar Kittel. Different explanations that I found. However, my Rebbe suggested, there's a kind of Yom Kippur going on here. What Yom Kippur are we talking about? So the answer is, Yaakov Avinu underwent a total transformation. Namely, till now I said he was dealing with his adversaries indirectly, deviously, through all kinds of stratagems, afraid to confront his adversaries in an open kind of way. Now we have a new Yaakov, or Yisrael. His personality has been broadened or deepened, if you will, by his encounters with Esav and Lavan. He has achieved a maturity, and he learned how to cope with honest man, with deceitful man, and therefore he, in effect, is a totally different person. That's why, by the way, right after this, the pasuk says, "Vayavo Yaakov Sholem Yirshchem." What does Shalom mean? Rashi says Shalom Mameinai, Shalom Begufo, Shalom Beteiraso, Rashi on the spot. But the point is that Yaakov is a different person. So what does that mean? Yaakov has two personalities, a dialectic. There's Yaakov and there's Yisrael. But you have to know when exactly to operate with one and when to operate with the other. And this is the Gemara of Abbasra that I mentioned to you. The Gemara that says, is a tzaddik allowed to engage in Amos? And the Gemara answers, yes! Im, the Gemara says, in Ikesh Titapo, if you're dealing with someone who is a duplicitous person, and someone who is a shyster, someone who is a deceptive individual, someone who is basically, I guess I can call him, dishonest and the like, a scoundrel, a crooked person, such an individual, the Gemara says, you have to deal with him accordingly. What does accordingly mean? You have to use his tactics. Because if you don't use his tactics, he will have no da'achas for you, no respect for you. He won't be able to, shall we say, he'll look down upon you. Yaakov Avinu essentially learned how to do that. And that's why, in many of these events, Yaakov's dealing with whom? He's dealing with Esav, he's dealing with Laban, he's dealing with scoundrels and shysters and crooked people. And Yaakov Avinu there takes on the tack of Yaakov. Be'ikva, Beremia, Beramos, but that's not the ideal Yaakov. The ideal Yaakov is what? Yisrael, Midas Ha'emes, Yosha Ke'el. That's why what I'm trying to suggest over here is the following. That Yaakov, in the course of learning how to deal with his adversaries, he emerged from his identity as an Ishtam and became the Ish HaShalem. And in effect, when you deal with Laban, the hustler, as I described him already in the past, greedy, venal, then you have to use a different tack. Laban is always on the run. He knows how to exploit people. He's always technically in the right. That's what I mentioned last week. Laban Bikesh, Lakar Asakol. He tried to uproot everything. He has no appreciation for the Acheretz, for Kedusha. By the way, here I believe is the distinction between Esav and Laban. Esav has appreciation for Kedusha. He wants a bracha from his father. Esav, in the presence of his father, what does Chazal say? Unbelievable kibud avei. Esav had the schus of living in Eretz Yisrael. Laban wants to undermine and uproot the Midas HaEmes of Yaakov. When you're in conflict with Laban, and now transpose the letters. Laban is basically, what is he? Naval. What is Naval? Naval is a rascal, a scoundrel. Those are, again, the transposition of letters. So Yaakov permitted himself to be somewhat exploited because he didn't want to descend to a life of deceit, but Hashem wanted Laban to appreciate the Kedusha for the Midas HaEmes of Yaakov. And the only way to do it is to beat Laban at his own game. And that's why Yaakov had to become, in the story of the Nekudim and the Brudim, the spot and the speckled, he had to adapt to Laban and adapt some of his tactics and techniques. Though the Laban should have the death penalty. Now, I would actually share with you one other thing, but it's really not fair to be to go past the time. But I think my general point, you understand, that essentially Yaakov Avinu really evolved and emerged. And that's why the pasuk does not say the Yaakov Hoya Ishtam. That would have put him in concrete. It would have solidified him. And rather, Yaakov was someone who, shall we say, transformed himself. The Ishtam, who was really detached from the material world where you have Emes and Sheker jockeying for position, he becomes another Mashal, and he realizes that the pursuit of Emes is complicated. It's formidable. It's not so simple. It requires a lot of skills, requires a lot of understanding of society and the like. But Yaakov Ishtam, the Ab that did not confront, that did not communicate, became Yisrael, the one adept at communication and direct confrontation. Notice he grew as a result of crisis, and that's why he realized on the one hand we have to be separate from the world at large, we have to be mechitzis. On the other hand, Yaakov also taught us that in the long night of Godus, we can still dream about eventually coming back to Eretz Yisrael. And I'll just end by something that I've written once. Two roads converge in a yellow wood. I'm sorry?
I cannot travel through.
Correct. Esav and Laban have always thought a policy of Nisa b'neilecha v'necha l'negdecha. Let us travel together. But we, Klal Yisrael, have taken the road, let's travel. The one where crisis after crisis besets us. We have not opted for short-term gratification, but rather we have sometimes engaged in confrontation and sometimes engaged in isolation, and we grew from an Ishtam to the Am HaSholem, from Yaakov to Yisrael. And that's essentially what we have here, this dialectic of Yaakov and Yisrael. As we have the dialectic of Yaakov and Yisrael, this is exactly the dialectic that's embedded in this week's passage.